Good morning, New Crossing. My name is Ryan. I'm on the teaching team here at New Crossing Church. And before I begin, I like to say thank you. I typically do this because this is the Word of God. It's God's Word to us. And it's got the power to transform lives, to make us into people who are more like Christ. And it's a really, really powerful thing. So to be able to share it with you and open up with you about what I've learned in the book of Jonah is really an honor, so thank you. And I mean that sincerely, even though I say it every time, it's the truth. And before we begin to, there's been a lot of prayer, but you never turn down an opportunity to pray, right? So I would like to just say one short, quick prayer for the morning as well. Dear God, I just would like you to enter into this place, open up our hearts, and speak to us through your word. Help me get out of the way so that people can interact with you directly, so that we might be able to be transformed into who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So here at New Crossing Church, we've been going through a series on the book of Jonah. This is only the second of five. And in the book of Jonah, we see Jonah reacting to God's compassion in a number of negative ways. In the first six verses we went over last week, we're going to finish up chapter one this week, and then we're going to proceed through the last three chapters. And so what we've seen up to this point in chapter one, verse one through six, can sort of be summarized. I'll do a little summary. If you want to get a little in-depth more in-depth, this doesn't seem to be working. Let's try it. There we go. If you want to get a little bit more in depth, you can go to the Bible Project. It's on YouTube. Just look up Jonah. It's an illustrative summary of the book of Jonah. It has a lot of other different books on it as well. If you just want a quick little walkthrough of what we talked about last week, here we go. So this is Assyria. And in Assyria, it expanded from the dark green area right here into the giant light green area right there during the time of Jonah's career as a prophet. And they expanded through terror, through torture, through violence. They gloated about it and like bragged about it to each other and to others. So that's how we know that they were super violent, is they had it all over their artwork and pottery and stuff. And so we know that they were super violent. And Jonah was a prophet during this great expansion. And so the Israelites got a big brunt of this force. They were killed for no reason at times. And it's recorded that they were doing this. And so Jonah gets called by God to go to the capital of Assyria, which is Nineveh. So he's like, Jonah, these Ninevites, they're really a terrible people. They're not living according to my ways, and I want you to go proclaim against them and ask them to repent. And Jonah's like, wait, what? If I show up, they're just going to kill me. And so for a number of reasons, here's Jonah in this circle here. That's about where Israel's at. Nineveh is over here in this circle. And so Jonah says, I don't think I'm going to go there. A, they're probably going to kill me if I show up. B, they're a really terrible people, and they don't deserve your forgiveness. And so instead of going there, I'm going to go all the way over here to Tarshish. So it's exactly the opposite direction of the way that he was asked to go. And so he goes down into Joppa. He goes down into a boat of Tarshish. And so Tarshish boats were actually really famous. There's a lot of art, ancient art from pottery and mosaics and stuff that we have, and we have a pretty good idea of what they actually looked like. So this is probably what a boat of Tarshish would look like. It's about 75 feet long. And to give you reference about how big that would be, so this is sort of the boat that Jonah would get on. To give you a reference, this is a cruise liner, a Mediterranean cruise liner. That little tiny dot right there, that's a lifeboat. And this is a little bit complicated math-wise, but if you put three of them next to each other, you get 90 feet. So then we can actually put Jonah's boat right underneath there, underneath the cruise liner. So that's about how big Jonah's boat was in comparison to the cruise liner. So he's on this boat, God's angry at him, and God hurls a storm at Jonah in the boat. And they're getting tossed around in the waves. There's could be 30-foot swells, speeds of 100 miles an hour in these Mediterranean hurricanes. Really, really a wild scene. Jonah is fleeing from God. The storm is hurled at them. That's all happening in verses 1 through 6. So you have this image. of people throwing cargo overboard. There's a man crying out to the Father, or crying out to, you know, their God. There's some people cowering, and it's just a disaster. It is confusing, it is frustrating, it is scary, and this is where we're picking up the story. The captain has just woken up Jonah. The sailors don't know what's going on. So now we're going to dive into exactly what it is that chapter 1, verses 7 through 17 have to say for us. And surprisingly, it's not actually about Jonah. It's about the sailors. I've titled this sermon, The Good Sailors, because really what we want to focus on is the sailors in this. Because the sailors represent the good response to God. Jonah reacts to God over and over again in anger, in brutality, in ignorance, just dismissively. The sailors, however, the people that you wouldn't expect to respond to God well, end up being the ones that we need to focus on. So it's the story of the good sailors. Now, if you're going to go back into Jonah ever, this is what you shouldn't forget. Okay, forget everything else I say today, but don't forget this. So then if you go back to Jonah, you have a good context of understanding it. The sailors show us the right way to respond to God. So that is what I want us to be thinking about as we read this, as we study the word today. And if you go back to it on your own, I want you to view Jonah through this lens, that it's the sailors that show us the right way to respond to God. So let's jump right into the text, or dive right in, right? You know, da-dun, yeah. So let's dive right in. And they said to one another, the sailors, "Come, let us cast lots, that we know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the heaven and sea and dry land." The men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So the sailors show us the right way to respond to God. Through Jonah's interaction with the sailors, we see Jonah ignoring God's power, falling asleep during God's show of power. We see Jonah running away from God's compassion, and we see the sailors actually responding to God's compassion in powerful ways, responding to God's compassion in the right positive way. So how do the sailors respond? Might be the question then, right? How did the sailors respond to God? We're going to look at three different ways that the sailors responded to God in positive ways, and hopefully be able to apply to our lives directly today. Okay? So first, in verses 7 through 10, the sailors took God seriously. They take God seriously. Contrast to Jonah's response to God was very flippant. Jonah didn't really care about God. Jonah knew what God wanted. God spoke to him. He was God's prophet, but yet God was flippant. He didn't care about God. The sailors, though, interacting with God's power, praise God. They're like calling out to God, and they try and communicate to God the only way they know how. So these sailors, what they did is they cast lots. That is a way that in the ancient world, people would try and communicate with God. Casting lots wasn't just a sort of luck of the die. Sometimes it was if God wasn't involved in it, what it was basically you took some pottery, some rocks or something like that, and you cast these lots out, and it was a way of narrowing down the selection of people or reasons of something. So it's sort of like modern day drawing of straws. So you draw a straw, and then if you draw the short straw, you're the one that has to go down the hallway, right? Like Scooby-Doo or something kind of thing. But the thing about lots is, a lot of times, if it was done in the proper way, God would be interacting with those stones, and he would actually empower them to show what his will was. And so it was a proper way to communicate with God if done the proper way. In fact, in the Old Testament, we have the Urim and the Thummim. That's these two stones here that traditionally the priests would cast these lots to decide on very serious matters. Like, whole people groups were killed because of this. Like, it was a very serious thing sometimes that they were deciding. Kings were decided on casting lots because God was involved in the casting of lots. God communicated through this. In the New Testament, we see the Roman soldiers casting lots for Jesus' clothes to be split up and separated. Who's going to get what? In Acts, they cast lots to see which person they should reinstate for the 12th apostle. So Judas betrayed. They were down to 11. They needed someone new. And so they cast lots. It was a very appropriate way to communicate with God. It was the way that the sailors knew how. So they were taking God seriously. Hey, God, we want to know what to do. So they cast lots. Here's the kind of a funny way to cast lots. I don't know if you want to do that. This isn't a serious thing. But you can actually cast lots to know how to brew coffee. So like there's like all these different brew times and like coffee ratios for water and temperatures, and you can do a different grind. And so there's a way to cast lots, you know, roll the dice to see what kind of coffee you're going to brew. But even today, then, you can cast lots. So, but seriously, though, this was a very good way to communicate with God. You know, you would cast lots to see what God has to say. And so the sailors were doing exactly what they knew. What this is it. This is how they knew how to communicate to God. They want to know what's going on. They're taking God seriously. What do we do? They're casting lots to find out exactly whose account this evil has come upon us. They want to know where the storm has come from. They want to know what's going on. And so when they cast these lots, when all is said and done, it's narrowing down, and the lot falls on Jonah. All right, hardened sailors who live a very tough life, who have no regard really for a God. They don't even know which God they're praising or which God they're not praising or who's doing what. And the lot falls on Jonah, and these sailors could have reacted and just killed him and thrown him overboard. Okay, it's you. You're the problem. Poof, gone. But they didn't. Instead, they were reasonable. They were methodical. What they started was a process of interrogation. They didn't immediately just react. See the difference between Jonah and the sailors already. The sailors are already responding to the situation. They're not just reacting to the situation. So what they do is they do some sort of investigative journalism, if you want to call it that. Who, what, where, when, why, how. So they want to know all these things. Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What's your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And so on and so forth. What they're asking then is this. Who are you, Jonah? We want to know who you are, because who you are is going to determine which God you serve. We want to know if you're a liar. We want to know like what the real deal is about who you are. We want to know what you do for a living. Are you a sorcerer? Are you in communication with God at all? You know, what do you do for a living? Do we need to be worried about what you do for a living in regards to this storm and the God that you serve? Where do you come from? Gods typically in the ancient world were thought of to be territorial. So even though the sailors knew he was fleeing, the Israelite God was the God of the hills. The God of the hills can't be in the sea. The God of the hills, whatever, right? This guy's running from the hills. Fine, we're in the sea. What does it matter? Where do you come from, Jonah? Do you really come from the God of, like, you know, the hills? Is that true? Well, he answers them. This is what he says. Almost flippantly, just like, yeah, no kidding, like, whatever, guys. Like, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of the heaven, and he made the sea and dry land. Sailors are like, wait a second. You're fleeing from God. You're running from God. And you're telling us that that same God, the one that you're making angry right now, He made the sea and the dry land, and he's in heaven ruling over everything? What? Minds are being blown right now in the sailor. Like, they are not happy with this. They knew, they became exceedingly afraid. This is an important phrase to understand. So this exceeding fear is going to be brought up again. So just put a little tab in it in your brain. So they do become exceedingly afraid. And then they said to them, what is this you have done? They knew that he was fleeing from the Lord. So Jonah told them, hey, I'm fleeing from God. Also, now you guys know the God that I serve isn't just the God of the hills in Israel. He's the God who created everything. And they freak out. What is this you have done? So they're taking God super seriously. Jonah, the guy who knows it all, who understands things, hasn't actually had the heart of a true person, of a true Hebrew even, really. He hasn't taken God seriously at all. The people that we would expect to take God seriously haven't. Jonah, the prophet. The people that we haven't expected to do anything right, the sailors, are taking God super seriously. So last night, I went to see Shake the Lake, right? And there's fireworks exploding everywhere, and you know, there's a lot of power behind fireworks, a lot of power behind fireworks. And even like a child understands how amazing fireworks are. Everyone gets it. Everyone knows how big of a deal fireworks are. It's like as if the firework engineer, the person who understands fireworks the best, is just being flippant about how he's launching off fireworks. I mean, there are explosions. Everyone's like oohing and aahing. You know, everyone really loves fireworks, understands that they're super powerful and they're really kind of a big deal and super dangerous. Everyone gets it. Like, it would be crazy to see a firework engineer just like firing them out the house or just like up over boats. You know, it's like, no. You have to take this very seriously. Fireworks are a very serious thing. You know, you can't help but be in awe and wonder of them. It's amazing to me that Jonah somehow is sort of like the firework engineer. He understands it the best, but he's just wildly disrespectful and flippant about it. The sailors understand the power of God and understand the power of God's compassion right off the bat, and they're taking God incredibly seriously. So the question then, if the sailors take God seriously, is, are you taking God seriously? So there's stories of the Reformation and the Bible being translated into common tongue, you know, like the common language, the heart language of people, like German. And as it's being translated into the common language that people spoke, people are being killed. People are being put in prison. There's massive fights and battles happening over the Bible being translated into a language that you can read. The fact that we have the Word of God in English is actually really incredible. Like, people have died for this to be in English. It's insane. Wycliffe Bible translators, I've had a chance to interact with a few guys who've said that when the Bible is translated into the heart language of people groups, a lot of times it's a very emotional experience where there's weeping, like just tears pouring out of their face because they can't believe they're able to read Acts and Luke in their heart language. It's a powerful, moving experience, full of emotion. Now, I don't mean to like guilt trip you guys or anything like that, but it's just a realization that maybe we've become desensitized to how serious it is and how awesome it is that we have the Word of God in front of us, right? It's an awesome thing. There's an idea of a blood oath or something like that where someone could, you know, save your life and then you would commit your life to them. Because if it weren't for the person who saved your life, you would be dead, right? So you would, back in the day, you would become a bond servant of somebody for a number of reasons. One reason, if they saved your life. So they could buy you out of slavery or they could save your life. And because of that, you could devote your life to them. And you could see exactly how that translates into today, right? Jesus Christ actually saved our life. He's the one who died for us. And without him, we would be living in sin and dead. We would be dead. If it weren't for him, we would be dead. The seriousness is then, like, we should just commit our whole lives. Like, are we taking the fact that he really died on the cross for our sins seriously? Are we taking the fact that we have God's word seriously? Are we taking God seriously? Are we acting like Jonah? you know, yeah, I do all the religious stuff. I'm a religion person. I get it. Or are we responding to God's power and compassion in positive ways and taking it seriously? The second thing that the sailors did well in responding to God is that they mirrored God's compassion by valuing Jonah's life. We see that in verses 11 through 13. They said to him, "What shall we do to you?" Now, pause for a second. This is kind of ridiculous at this point. Jonah knows that he's the problem. Jonah has said that he's the problem. The sailors know that he's the problem. And Jonah doesn't do anything. The sailors are realizing that he's basically being a passive, lazy jerk. Like, you're the one that's caused this whole disaster. Why aren't you being active, Jonah? You're not doing anything. So the sailors have to, like, actually be the ones to act. They're the ones that have to do something. The sailors are the ones that actually have to react and interact with God because Jonah is refusing to do it. So they say, "What shall we do to you?" And he says, again, all passive verbs. Jonah's not the one saying, "I'm going to do this." He's going to, you know, have the sailors do it. "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. I'm not going to act if you really feel like it, I guess. I know I'm the responsible one. I know it's all because of me. I know I brought this whole disaster on you. I know that I made you throw out thousands and thousands of dollars worth of cargo and that you're all going to be responsible for it once you get to port. You're probably all going to become servants or slaves. I know that I've done all this, but, you know, if you feel like it, you can throw me overboard and then the sea will become calm." You know, it's like just crazy that you know, he knows, he's admitting this, and the sailors still don't react the way that we would expect them to. At this point, Jonah's taken full responsibility, sort of, right? At least admittance, and he's also told them how to make the sea quiet. The sailors still value Jonah as a human being, as a life. They're still valuing Jonah. They don't immediately cut his throat and throw him overboard. They don't immediately just react to the situation. They respond in compassion. Nevertheless, it's a really important word. Nevertheless, despite all of that, despite everything that has happened, despite all that they know, nevertheless, they rowed hard. This is a cool Hebrew word that means to dig in. So it's often used when they're digging through the walls in order to breach walls. They're like digging into the ground, trying with all their might. They're digging hard. They're rowing hard to get back to land, but they can't. In my mind, which is sometimes a scary place to be, I think it's sort of like Megamind. Now, Megamind is a story about a villain who actually ends up being the hero. So Metro Man is the hero. And he's basically a lazy scumbag. Like, a lot of really nasty stuff happens to Metropolis, the city. And in Metropolis, the city is under attack, basically. And the hero doesn't do anything. He's just lazy. He just sits around and does absolutely nothing. And the person that you would expect to do nothing ends up being the hero in the movie. Megamind, the villain, ends up being the hero. That's sort of what's happening here. There's a flip-flop of roles. Jonah, the hero in our story, the person that maybe everyone would relate to first, the person that everyone would want to say, like, yeah, I'm sort of like the prophets of old. Yeah. It's like, wait, what about Jonah, though? You know, the sailors, the rough people, the people who are like the bottom feeders of society, you know, were the ones that ended up being the heroes. Now, fast forward to Jesus's teaching and Jesus's time, right? This is a lot of what Jesus said, right? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. The people that you don't expect that are going to be in heaven are going to be the ones that are in heaven. The first, not only that, like, Jesus didn't come to heal the healthy, right? It's the sick that need the doctor. It's the sailors. The sailors are the ones that end up being the heroes in this story in chapter one. It's a total reversal of roles here. The sailors mirrored God's compassion by valuing Jonah's life. Now, just to really drive this idea home, look at Philippians 2, 3 through 4. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Philippians 2, 3 through 4. This is what the sailors are doing. Paul writes this, and then he reflects on how this is Christ's example. Christ came down from heaven. He died on the cross. He spent his life serving others. He cared more about other people than he cared about himself. He served others. He lived a life of service. These sailors are already responding to this, right? They're already living out what Christ would have them do. They're already living a life for God. They're showing us that, hey, if the sailors can do it, maybe we can. You know, this bottom barrel feeding group of guys are showing deep compassion to Jonah by not throwing him overboard. Will you mirror God's compassion for others? Every life, like, really matters. Every human being is a reflection of God's character. Now, I'm saying that, and maybe someone comes to mind that's particularly difficult to show compassion to. For what it's worth, there is a saying that goes something like, be kind, for everyone is fighting their own great battle. We're all intimately involved in life. We all have our very, very unique stories. We all are very, very intimately connected. We've all gone through a whole lot. Be kind. Show compassion. Have some forgiveness. It's what Jesus did. Sailors can do it, who really should have just thrown Jonah overboard. Like, we can do it. We can do it. We have the Holy Spirit to like, empower us even. Are you going to mirror God's compassion to others? The next thing that the sailors did well in reference to responding to God is that the sailors praised God for his power and compassion. Flip that over, and you see Jonah, by contrast, ignoring God's power, running from God's compassion, just being wildly disrespectful about everything related to it. But the sailors actually responded to God by praising him for his power and compassion. Interestingly, there's a therefore. So that means that because of all the previous events, they called out to the Lord. The therefore is important because, although this is going to be a little cliche, I think it's important to remember that it's the storm that brought the sailors to God. Now, the storm, sort of, can be a metaphor for a lot going on in your life, right? And like I said, it is super cliche, and it's not always the most helpful for when you're going through a storm to be like, oh, God's going to use it for good. Like, it'll be okay, you know, just pull up your bootstraps and, you know, therefore, praise God. But also, it should be said that that is the truth. God will use everything for good. God will use the storms in your life for God, for good. And that is the truth. You may be going through a hard time, and I don't want to diminish that. But I also just want to remind you that the sailors are going through this storm. Therefore, they called out to God. The storm, the violent, brutal time in their life, the most terrifying point in their life, brought them to their knees and brought them to a point of calling out to God. It's an important thing to remember when we're going through tough things. Maybe that's God bringing you to himself. Maybe God isn't the one causing it, but maybe God will use it to bring you to him. Also, interestingly, they're the ones calling out. So if you go back to the beginning of chapter 1, Jonah was asked by God to call out, to arise and call out. And now it's not Jonah that's calling out. It is the sailors calling out. It's not Jonah was asked to call out, and now the sailors are doing it for him. And what do they say? Well, they say, O Lord, O Lord. They use Yahweh's name. They don't use any God. They use Yahweh's name. They know which God they're talking to now. The God of the Israelites, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who is reigning in heaven, Yahweh. Yahweh, Lord, let us not perish for this man's life and lay not on us innocent blood. Please, God, we know that you're in control of everything. We know that you're in control of the storm. Please, God, we're going to do what he's asking us to do. We're realizing that this storm is growing uncontrollable, and we can't keep up with it. We understand where we're at. Please, God, Yahweh, we know who you are. We accept that you're in control, and we, please, God, we're going to do what you ask. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. Now there, the ones doing the throwing, right? So God threw the storm at the boat, and now they're actually imitating what God's actions are. There's a lot of narrative play here happening where Jonah's not doing any of the actions. Jonah's having all the actions done to him. He's not an active person in this chapter at all. He's just wildly disrespectful and totally passive. The sailors are mirroring God's actions, doing what Jonah was supposed to be doing. And now it's gotten to the point where they're actually throwing someone overboard and probably in God's will doing it and making sure that they're in God's will doing it. Then the sea ceased from its raging. There is a poetic beauty here, I think. I mean, just imagine, right, the storm that was happening, the 30-foot swells, everyone crying out, some people probably crying, like rage burning in some people, not knowing how to act towards Jonah, like total doubt, fear, disillusionment, confusion of why this would ever happen, like wild emotions. And then all of a sudden, peace. The storm ceases. And they're all looking at each other. And they're just wondering, like, what just happened, right? The smell of the rain and the seawater and the wood coming into, and they're all looking at each other and just like, you know, like, is this real? Like, are you serious right now? The God of the Israelites, Yahweh, holy smokes, this is a real God. This is an active God. This is a God who has some amazing power. The clouds are breaking through. Or I'm sorry, the sun is breaking through the clouds and it's reflecting off the water. And they look at each other and they don't know what else to do. So what do? They fear the Lord exceedingly. Remember to have that tab that they feared the Lord exceedingly when the storm was growing and growing? Now that fear of the Lord is turning and it's turning into a devotion to the Lord. They offered sacrifices and they made vows. This is the sign of true repentance. This is a sign of what, you know, Abraham and Noah and Moses and the greats of like the Old Testament, this is what they did. This is how they worshiped God. The sailors were effectively worshiping Yahweh after this all happened. Their response to God's power and compassion is to worship him. They truly got on their knees, were brought to their knees and worshiped Yahweh. These men were saved. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in heaven. I'm not God, and I don't know, but wouldn't it be cool to actually talk about this event with them someday? You know, like, that would be awesome. Can you imagine? Like, I just can't imagine throwing Jonah overboard and then the sea just, like, what were you feeling? Like, whoa, like goosebumps almost. So, yeah, I just want us to kind of think about Romans 3:23 through 26, which says that the sins of the ancient ones were basically, let me start over. The God forbeared, he waited to punish the sins of the Old Testament believers, basically. So Christ's sacrifice was for Old Testament believers. And these sailors were Old Testament believers, I would say. And it's through faith that they're counted as righteous. It's not through their actions. It's not through doing the right thing. They communicated to God the only way they knew how, through lots. And their faith was counted as righteousness. And in Romans 4, it talks about how Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness. So then the question, flipping back to you, is how are you going to respond to God's power and compassion? God wants to forgive you for your sins. God wants to interact with you. God wants you to enter into relationship with him. God has probably done a lot in your life, and it's not him who's going to force you into relationship with him. He's not going to force you to recognize his power and his love for you, but it does demand a response, whether it is to ignore it or to do something about it. Jonah ignored it. Jonah ran from it. The sailors responded to it. They accepted the forgiveness and the love. And the reality is God wants to show love and forgiveness to everyone. So no matter what you're doing or what you've done, it's not too much. God wants to show graciousness and love and forgiveness to you. In Exodus 33:19, it's written that I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God has decided that he wants to forgive you. And so who are you to tell him no? Right? You don't get to pick that. God has decided that he wants to show all the world forgiveness. He's died for everyone. who are we to say no? Like, the reality is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As Christians, we have access to this. Maybe you're living underneath the burden of a sin that you haven't confessed, or maybe you're living underneath some sort of habitual sin. You don't need to. God's faithful to forgive. He's gracious. He's died on the cross for it all. Maybe you haven't entered into a relationship with God yet. Maybe you haven't entered into a relationship with God yet, and that's fine, but now's the time. Now's the time. Like, God wants to forgive you of your sins. God wants to be in a relationship with you, but he's a gentleman. He's not going to force it on you. He's going to allow you to enter into that relationship by your own free will. So, you know, now's the time. How are you going to respond? Are you going to be like the sailors, or are you going to be like Jonah? Are you going to react like Jonah? Are you going to respond to God like the sailors? Now we get to the last part of Jonah 1, and that is a very famous verse, I think. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I wanted to make it a point that the first chapter is about the sailors, not about this. But this did happen in the first chapter, and moving into next week, this is important to remember. So just as an idea here, just to leave you a little bit of a cliffhanger, right? So Jonah went down to Joppa. So he goes down to Joppa. Then he goes down into the ship, right, of Tarshish. Then he goes away from the presence of the Lord. And now he's going down, 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 further and further into the sea. So do you see how his progression is just deeper and deeper and deeper down, 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 down. And so Jonah's sinking down into the ocean. He went down to Joppa and he went down into the boat. Now he's going down into the sea. He's about to get eaten by a fish. And there we leave Jonah until next week. So what do we do? How do we respond like the sailors? What can we do to be like the sailors? Well, there's three things. I promise you three things. And I kind of had them out. They're in your outline as well. Take God seriously. So Jesus died on the cross for you. You know, it's a big deal. He saved your life. He wants to live with you forever. And our response to him should be a life of adoration and worship for him. You know, do we come Sundays just to get something out of it for a social club, or do we actually come here to worship God? You know, are we taking God seriously? Do we take the word of God seriously? This is the word of God. It's God's words to us. We get to read it. It's a pretty awesome book. Are we taking God seriously? Mirror God's compassion for people. A lot of people in the world to not like. There's a lot of reasons not to like people and even hate. But God wouldn't want that. He would want maybe to hate sin, but not people. God wants us to have compassion on people. Everyone's fighting their own great battle in life. Everyone has a lot going on. Compassion and forgiveness is really important, and God wants us to mirror that. Are we going to be like Jonah? Or are we going to be like the sailors? Accept and live in forgiveness. The sailors, despite what they had done in their past, fell to their knees and worshiped God. They accepted it. They said, God, you're the Lord of my life now. We're going to make vows to you. We're going to make sacrifices to you, and we're going to fear you. Are you going to allow sin to control you? It's a lie that you have to live in sin and live in shame. It's a lie, and it's a subtle form of pride because God has chosen to forgive you. All you need to do is accept that. Release yourself from that burden. You don't need to live there. You don't need to live alone in isolation and fear. You can be forgiven. So don't get overwhelmed either with all these things, you know. Maybe one stands out to you. You know, focus on that this week. My hope is that next time you read Jonah, you remember that Jonah 1 isn't about Jonah. It's about the sailors. And so maybe God can speak to you, you know, in a different way, even different than these three points, even different than anything I said. You know, maybe God will speak to you differently. I hope that next time you dive into Jonah, like, you're able to understand a little bit better and God's able to speak to you a little bit more easily going into the week. I guess the worship team, you guys can come back up. Going into the week, just take one of these points and try and live it out. Try and allow it to change you, transform you. And yeah, with that, I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for dying for our sins, for showing us compassion, for being willing to just come down from heaven and live among us. Lord, allow us to respond to you well, whether it means taking you seriously, whether it means mirroring your compassion for others, or, Lord, if it means praising you for your power and compassion and just accepting your forgiveness. Let us live it out, Lord. Change us. In Jesus' name, amen.